I want to start with a question this morning. How many of you have ever prayed for God's will in your life? Probably most of us have at some point. Sometimes it's for stuff we want to happen, but we aren't sure that God will answer, so we just add at the end, well, if it's your will. And if you're like me, you use that to pray for something like the lottery or Publishers Clearing House over the years. Over 10 years ago, I remember I had this like 3-year run where I signed up for Publishers Clearing House every year. And, you know, that week I would make sure that I didn't put my phone on silent in case they called, you know, to make sure I was at home. I assume they did that. Maybe they really do just show up. I don't know. But I half anticipated that God would bless me. It's like, that would be really cool. I mean, because I'd pray and I'd say, you know, God, I know I don't need that much money, but if it's your will, you know, bless me, and here are all the good things I would do with it. You know, I would tithe to the church, I would pay off my bills and my family's bills and the church's bills, and, you know, feed the orphans and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I didn't win, but I'm sure God smiled. And then other times, we pray for God's will and we pray for legit things. And we need God to intervene in our relationship or in our finances or maybe show us the career path that He wants to take us on or help us to get into that college that we applied to or to pass that test we've been studying for. Whatever it is, we leave the results up to His will. Whatever the case, if we're sincere, God hears us and He may even answer. But how does that all work? Well, that's what we want to talk about here today. We are in week 2 of our Dangerous Prayer series, and we are calling them Dangerous Prayers because they're not just easy prayers. And they can lead to God moving in some big ways in our lives if we pray them. And most of the time, what we do is that we pray safe prayers. We just pray for, you know, the typical things throughout the day. You know, Lord, bless me. Lord, be with my family or my kids or my friends or, you know, help me to do well at my job or on this test or interview or heal my friend or, you know, whatever. Any of those typical things that we lift up to God. There's absolutely nothing wrong with these prayers, and we should keep praying these things. You know, God wants us to bring everything before Him. However, what happens is these things we're calling dangerous prayers invite God to come into our lives in such dramatic ways that drastic things can happen as a result. Things that may change our hearts or that may lead us to risk things or may turn our lives inside out in all kinds of ways. Now, last week, Pastor Eric led us to pray, "Search me, God." And it's a prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139. And if we pray it with a sincere heart, what it does is it gives God the freedom to change things in us that aren't developing in a Christ-like manner. And it's a great place to start in our prayer lives. And today, again, we're going to look at praying according to the will of God. And to do that, we're going to look at a situation where Jesus Himself was struggling with pursuing the will of His Heavenly Father. And we find this in Luke chapter 22, as well as Matthew 26 and Mark 14. But we're going to spend our time in Luke here this morning. And if you'd like to follow along, you're welcome to break out your Bibles, or if you want to grab one in front of you in the pews or under the seats, we're going to be on page 720 today. Or if you have a great Bible app, you're welcome to follow along that way as well. And we'll have most of the verses on the screen here this morning. Well, in Luke 22, starting in verse 39, it says this. It says, "Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him." Now, I think it's helpful as we start to kind of work through this situation today and to look at this prayer to talk about the significance of the location where Jesus prayed these words. The Mount of Olives was located east of Jerusalem. And here's a picture of kind of the view from up on part of the mountain. And it stretches about 2,400 feet high and gives a great view of the city of Jerusalem. Now, in the Old Testament, it was significant even early on. It was the place where King Solomon, I mean, it was significant for good and bad reasons. King Solomon set up some temples there to false gods and rebelled against his God. The prophet Ezekiel saw a vision of God rising from the city and resting on the Mount of Olives. And it was the mountain where King David fled through when his son Absalom rebelled against him. And we're told that David, as he was fleeing and he gets towards the top of the mountain, he just broke down down and he wept for the state of Jerusalem. And it's the same place that we see earlier in Luke, where Jesus is entering into town and he pauses on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus himself weeps over Jerusalem. Now we're told that Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. And that tells us a couple things. First, it tells us that it was one of his favorite places to pray, and that this was part of his routine, was going to this location and spending time with his Father in heaven. And as we seek the will of God in our lives, it's good to find a place, whether it's at home or on break at work or in nature, that we can slow down and both talk and listen to the Spirit of God. And if you don't have a place like that, a place where you go regularly, I want to encourage you to start there, to start kind of experimenting with some settings in the next couple weeks where you may best hear the voice of God. Now, second, this was the night before the crucifixion, and Jesus was about to get betrayed by one of his friends. One of his friends was about to sell him out and bring the guards to take him away. And therefore, Jesus picked their most visited place so that he could be easily found when they came looking. Jesus picked their most common place that they spent time in prayer so that he could be easily found and led to his death. Now, after they arrived, these were Jesus' first words to them. He said, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation. Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And I think one of the main things that Jesus was showing them and that he's teaching us to is that when seeking the will of God, we should start by praying for protection. We should start by praying for protection. You see, often when we are seeking the will of God, it's when we're in a vulnerable state. We may be tired, we may be stressed, we may be depressed, and all of those times are times, prime times, that the enemy chooses to attack. The Bible tells us that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for somebody to devour. And the reality is that he isn't looking for the ones who are well-fed or surrounded by their family or who are calm and collected. He's most likely targeting the ones who are isolated, the ones who have lost their joy and who are maybe even questioning their faith. And because God's answers aren't always in our timing, we have to brace ourselves to be tired and tempted as we're seeking the will of God. Jesus here, I think, is warning them, and he's warning us to be aware of our physical and mental state when seeking the will of God, and to pray to seek him for protection from the evil one. So next time you're feeling vulnerable, admit it to God. He's been there before. Jesus has walked these same paths. Jesus, feeling vulnerable himself in this situation, was looking to steer away from the voice of the enemy, the one who tried to get him to claim his kingdom without having to suffer. The devil offered that to Jesus, not that it was his to offer, but he tried. You know, this adversary was surely not going to give up, but was probably ramping up the volume in Jesus' ears as the day approached for the crucifixion. Now, in the midst of it, though, Jesus responds with these words. It says in verse 41 that he withdrew about a stone's throw behind them, and he knelt down and he prayed. And he said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done." Now, I don't know about you, but I often want God to work in certain ways. And here's what I do sometimes. I'll pray for something, and I'll pray for the will of God, and then I'll give him suggestions on how he can accomplish that. It's like, "All right, God, this is what I need, and if you just do this, that would be great. You know, that'll make it happen." And for Jesus, the will of God, the decision that was made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was for Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of all people. And in these moments, Jesus is struggling with that decision. Even though he is willingly offering his life, he is wondering in these moments if maybe there's another way to pay for our sin. So he goes to the Father three times within a matter of minutes, asking for another route. But each time he comes back resolved to accept the original plan. And that plan is best because it's the only one that will accomplish the purposes of God. That plan is the only one that will accomplish the purposes of God. You see, God had established long ago that there can be no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Therefore, people would sacrifice things in the old days like sheep and goats and birds in order that their blood would cleanse the people in the eyes of God. But rather than continuing that pattern forever, God decided that there should be a once and for all sacrifice. One that would cover all past and present and future sins for anyone who would call on the name of God. But that sacrifice would have to be holy. It would have to be spotless. It would have to be perfect. Thus, enter Jesus, who came to earth and lived without sin so that our sin could be erased in the eyes of God. Jesus understood that the purposes of God were more important than his feelings and his pain. He understood that the purposes of God were more important than his feelings and his pain. And that's something that I think he wants us to understand as well. That the things that will advance his kingdom are the priorities. So therefore, when we're praying for the will of God, we should pray for kingdom purposes. When things that we are praying for line up with something that God has promised or something that will advance his kingdom on earth, then those are the things that we can anticipate will most likely be answered. When they line up with either his advancement for with something that will advance his kingdom on earth or with his promises. See, God tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means the promises that he made at the beginning when the earth was created and that we read in the pages of the Bible are still valid. They're still intended to bring truth, to bring life, and to guide us. Therefore, as we pray for the will of God, we can look to the Bible and we can see if the things that we're praying for line up with the purposes of God. You know, however, they may not, even if they line up with the purposes of God, they may not be answered in the way that we're anticipating or the way that we would like. If we pray for love, God may bring that person right away. Or he may choose to make us wait while he's preparing the one that's best for us. And or preparing us so that we're the one that's best for them. And in the meantime, he may help us feel love through family or friends or a church family. We may pray for transportation. But instead of providing the vehicle that we want, we may end up with a beater that'll just get us back and forth. Or just maybe God provides the money for a bus pass. Or maybe a ride to get to where we need to go. But he still provides. We may pray for extra money. Or to get a better job, but maybe instead God teaches us to better manage what we have. Or maybe he provides some side work for us to kind of offset some of the things that are going on. Maybe we pray for better grades or to make a sports team or something like that. And maybe those things, though, are delayed while we learn to work harder and to be self-disciplined. Maybe we pray for healing. But the healing gets delayed while God creates an incredible testimony in our lives that he wants to use to reach people. Or maybe we pray that somebody would change so that maybe we could forgive them or move forward or just even coexist. But maybe instead God decides to change our hearts or maybe to help view them differently or maybe even love them unconditionally even if they don't deserve it. You see, in each case, we're getting the things that we're praying for eventually. But the deal is that God's path often involves the development of our character in such a way that he's wanting to conform us to the likeness of Jesus. That's the path to answer prayer, especially prayer for the will of God. You see, God is often more concerned with who we are and what we have or how we feel about our current situations. God is often much more concerned with who we are. we feel or what we have in our current situations. So if we aren't reflecting on Jesus on a daily basis, that's the place that God is going to start when we're praying for God's will. And that's why this is a dangerous prayer. It's why we shouldn't pray it unless we're willing to come face to face with the fact that we may be part of the problem. And that we must change in order to see God's will unleashed in our lives. So what we've got to do is we've got to submit ourselves to that process and pray for kingdom purposes, purposes like unconditional love and forgiveness and stewarding our funds in such a way that the kingdom of God expands. You see, God knows our needs, and He desires to provide for them. But the process may not look like we would anticipate, and we must be ready for that rather than allow it to rock our faith. God wants us to be ready for that, and that's one of the things that Jesus is trying to teach us here. Now, after Jesus prays for the will of God in accordance with what would best accomplish the purposes of God, so the will of God with what would best accomplish God's purposes, we see that God responds not by changing the plan, but by providing the strength for Jesus to be able to stick with the plan. God doesn't change the plan. He provides the strength to Jesus to be able to stick with the plan. In 43, it says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and did what? Strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he arose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Now, Jesus didn't get the answer that he was looking for, but he got the answer that he needed, the answer that we all needed him to get. And because that answer was going to be tough to swallow, God strengthened him. And then after that, Jesus prayed even more intensely. He didn't give up. He didn't back down. He didn't say, woe is me. He doubled down and prayed even harder. Now, what would happen in our prayer life if instead of getting discouraged as we waited on God, we prayed with more faith and more intensity? What would happen in our lives if that was true of us? Jesus shows us that when praying for the will of God, we should pray for perseverance. Pray for perseverance. You see, God strengthened Jesus to the point where in short order, He knew what those moments were going to bring. He knew what was going to happen. He knew Judas was on his way, and he could have just ran away. But instead of that, he had these words to say to his friends. And in the scripture, there's exclamation marks after each one. He said, rise, friends, let's go. Here comes my betrayer. He couldn't have spoke those words with enthusiasm had God not prepared him for that and strengthened him for that moment. See, often when praying for the will of God, we need perseverance. Because it typically isn't a snap of the fingers or a click of the heels. It's often a painful process that's characterized by personal growth and trust in the promises and person of God. Now, in terms of Jesus, we just celebrated Easter 2 weeks ago. And so we know how it all turns out. On Friday, Jesus did die on a cross for the sins of all people. And on Sunday, he did come back to life. And the thing is that God redeemed and will continue to redeem this place called the Mount of Olives as we look at this story, on which many tears have been shed. You see, 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus was again standing on the Mount of Olives. And he was talking to a crowd, and on that exact moment, the Father chose to bring Jesus home in a cloud as the crowd looked on. It's also the place where Jesus sat once, and he told the disciples about the second coming. He answered their questions and told them about what it will be like. And it's the place where the prophet Zechariah proclaims that Jesus' feet will first land when he returns for his people. You see, Jesus' journey and his history to this place shows us that the place of our greatest pain can also be the site of our greatest triumph. The place of our greatest pain can also be the site of our greatest triumph. that thing that you are struggling with the most right now, whatever that thing is, could be the very thing that in a few hours or a day or a week or a year may be your greatest testimony about the goodness and power of God at work in your life. Here's the path to success. We're told about it again in Proverbs 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do and He will show you which path to take. Don't trust in ourselves, trust in Him. Seek His will and He'll show us the path. So as we give up control, as we allow God to change us, as we align our goals with the goals of God in our life and in the world around us, we'll both understand and we'll unleash the will of God in our lives. And in the center of the will of God is the very best place for us to be. Let's pray. Well, Jesus, we thank you that you, even you, as God, submitted yourself to the will, to the plan of the Father, Son, and Spirit, the plan that was laid at the foundations of the earth, the plan that was set up in order to save all of humanity, all who would call on your name. So, Lord, we thank you for showing us how to do that. And God, you know it's not easy. And you walked through that, you anguished to the point of tears of blood in the garden. And so, Jesus, we ask that you would be with us in these moments, Lord. That you would give us the perseverance that we need to run this race, to keep moving forward, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to understand how to align our lives with the will of God. Lord, would you give us hope that these things that we're dealing with now, that they'll have a good conclusion, a good outcome, Lord, and that you are working in the midst, even now. God, maybe we don't see it, but you are actively moving forward your will in our lives. And so, Lord, we just want to lay all of that at your feet this morning and pray a dangerous prayer. God, have your way with us. Lord, your will be done. God, give us the strength to trust you and to navigate that in the days ahead. It's in your name we pray. Amen.